I'm delighted to welcome Kim Harrison back to the studio with me tonight. She's well known and loved for her best-selling The Hollows, or Rachel Morgan urban fantasy series, set in an alternate history where a worldwide pandemic caused by genetically modified tomatoes led to the death of a large portion of the world's human population. It's set right here in Cincinnati. The series includes 13 mystery novels, 8 short stories, and 2 graphic novels, and focuses on the open existence of magical and supernatural species, primarily witches, vampires, werewolves, demons, and pixies, with the human population. Rachel Morgan is a detective and a bounty hunter witch who works with local law enforcement. The series also focuses on Rachel's relationships with her partners, a living vampire, a pixie, and a young gargoyle who's only 50, as well as her romantic relationships with males of different species. I would add that Kim does this all with a good dollop of humor. Tonight, we're going to talk about the 13th and final novel in the Hollows series. It is titled The Witch with No Name. Welcome back to Around Cincinnati, Kim.
Thank you. It is great to be here.
Good to see you. Since this is our farewell to Rachel, I thought we would start by having you read from one of the early chapters in The Witch with No Name.
This is very early on in the book. It is after Rachel's best friend has been injured, and her only way to save her is to slip into the Ever After, which is the demon realm. And doing so got them away from the people who were chasing her and trying to kill Ivy, but it also put them in more danger. And at this point, they're just kind of waiting for rescue, and Rachel doesn't know if it's going to come in time. The gritty wind had rubbed the skin between my short boot and pant leg raw. I huddled closer to Ivy, trying to get into the lee of the stone, but the boulder wasn't large enough. Ivy didn't move as my weight shifted, and I twisted my leg almost under myself to hide it. It would be asleep in about 3 minutes, but the respite from the wind was worth it. Ivy's shallow breath came and went, her scent obvious under the choking burnt amber reek that permeated the Ever After. I listened for the clink of a rock or sliding rubble that would mean a surface demon as I looked over the dry bed of the Ohio River and to the crumbled remains of the hollows below. The sun was almost down, and the light was vanishing from the basilica's steeple inch by slow inch. Elsewhere, the shadows were already thick. Behind me, where Cincinnati would be, things moved, howled, and hooted as the sun vanished. Surface demons. The large circle I'd put around us would keep them at bay, but they were gathering. No one, not even Newt, stayed on the surface after dark. And we'd been noticed.
Yes. So you have really created a spectacular wrap-up to Rachel's career, shall we say. She barely gets one crisis solved, beginning with Ivy, saving Ivy, her dear friend, and another presents itself, not to mention the fact that she has this on-again, off-again, now-on-again relationship.
Very
with,
much on-again
yes,
relationship.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. With Trent. So this situation with Ivy, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of triggers a much larger challenge with some pretty bad guys, one named Cormel and one named Landon. So tell us about what comes out of the saving Ivy.
Well, Landon, he is kind of the spiritual leader of a group of people, the elves, and they are on a holy war and have been on a holy war for the last 2,000 years to get rid of the demons. Well, the demons kind of tried to get rid of them first, so you never know who started it. Somehow, Ivy became the crux of it. The demons want their souls back, and they have threatened Rachel to find out where they are and how to get them back, or Ivy's going to pay the ultimate cost. It's interesting that when I was writing this, it kind of got into a moral dilemma, because getting their souls back is going to cause them to sunside or suicide, and just because you can, should you? It's a moral issue. And Rachel, she just wants to save her friend. So she's kind of going against her moral grain, so to speak, and saying, I don't care what's going to happen. I just want to save my friend. But it was a challenge to write, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I was determined on this one to find Rachel's happy ever. But this is actually, believe it or not, the original ending of the books that I wanted about book six. I thought I was only going to get six books, and I wanted the crux of the whole series to revolve around Ivy getting or not getting her soul. And so we see Ivy kind of going away for a couple books. And now that we're reaching the end, I was able to bring her back and bring all of this back together with elements I never even dreamed were going to come into play at the time. And I hope it worked. I hope it did.
Oh, yes. Of course it did. And one of the things that is just good fun about reading your novels where we're located geographically is that this all takes place in sort of post-apocalyptic Cincinnati.
Yes.
I hear that you did some on-the-ground, or maybe we should say underground, research recently.
I did. I finally got under the city and into the tunnels of Cincinnati. I've known about them for a while, and it used to be I'd drive down the expressway, and I'd be turning, twisting sideways to try to see that entrance that's right off the expressway. But I finally got down, and I had to arrange it. I didn't break in. They have issues with that. But I did go down with the road crew and a tour guide and a film crew, actually. And we filmed down in the tunnels. And there's a book trailer on my website right now that actually shows me. And you can see the excitement in my face and my eyes. I'm dirty. I'm sweaty. I'm gross. It was 90 degrees out that day. But I got in the tunnels, and I was such a happy camper.
I know that as her creator, you had to plan on saying goodbye to Rachel some time in advance. Your many readers and fans, of course, are going to mourn her loss. But I'm wondering, as her creator, what will you take from her to your next writing?
That is a great question. In fact, I did consciously sit down when I started the new series, and I said, I have got to make my new character different from Rachel. And yet, there are some things I want to build on. So my new character that I'm working on is named Perry, and I'm only bringing her up so I can kind of compare and contrast. Perry's older than Rachel. She's already making those good decisions now that Rachel, we've been struggling, watching her make these bad decisions over and over and slowly evolving into making good decisions. Well, Perry's already making those good decisions. Perry is at the top of her game. She knows who she is. She knows what she wants to do, and that is something that Rachel didn't. So I'm kind of picking up sort of where Rachel left off, but Perry is completely different. The world is different, and that helps a lot. It's in third person, which helps differentiate. But she's still very strong-willed. Her decisions are good, but her information is bad. And there's a whole new crop of different problems that arise.
I know that under your given name, which is Dawn Cook, mm-hmm. you write romance novels. Kim Harrison is your nom de plume you use for this urban fantasy genre. Will you continue with urban fantasy? What made you choose that, first of all? What was the segue?
Urban fantasy chose me. I have a very heavy background in science fiction. I have a heavy background in fairy tales. I have a degree in biology, and you can see that a little bit in the Hollows books, because I try to bring in, you know, DNA and species and stuff. I wanted to delve a little further into my degree, and so I'm backing off a little bit from the different species. My next piece of work is still going to have elements of magic in it, but I like to call it accelerated science, when science is so far in advance that it looks like magic. So that's kind of the direction I'm going. I like urban fantasy, but I think it's time for me to stretch my writing muscles a little bit more. So I'm not giving it up, but I'm trying to make my work more thriller-ish. It's faster paced. It takes place in about 2 weeks, which is about what an urban fantasy book of mine takes about 2 weeks. So there's not a huge, huge difference. I think I'm going to be able to pull my readers along with me, but I'm hoping to reach a different demographic. I want to hit those male readers. I mean, I have two black belts, and I have stuff to tell guys. But they shy away from those urban fantasy because they have the picture of the woman on the cover, and they don't want to be seen on the bus reading it. So I need a different cover and hit those guys. I have a lot to tell them.
Well, it's delightful to have one more go around with Rachel, and really exciting to hear about Perry and where you're going to take your writing career next. We'll look forward to seeing you again.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.
Great to be with you. I've been talking with Kim Harrison about her 13th and final novel in the Hollows series. It is titled The Witch with No Name. You'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.